Hi there, this is Larry Edge Hughes of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So it has been a while since I have done an audio, and usually I kind of like to do some of the business and marketing stuff on audios, and this isn't quite that. This is a bit more of the thought processing, the treatment planning, your goal setting, what else? Considerations for designing a rehab program. So this comes from questions that I've seen asked, and it also comes a little bit, I dug around and was like, oh my gosh, I've created some of this for some courses that I've taught. So we will start off down that track. So if we look at rehabilitation and physical therapy goals in general, just as a general point, if you're thinking about, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with this patient, right? It's either overwhelming or underwhelming or whatever. So your first set of goals, you think, what can you increase, maintain, or prevent regression of? And in that category would be strength, range of motion, extensibility, coordination, endurance, balance, and function. And if we go down the path of function is a physio's favorite word, because function can look at do we need power, agility, body awareness, right? Kinesthetic awareness, endurance. Do you need, and does that endurance need to be muscular or cardiovascular? Do they need more speed? Do they need something that's activity specific? Skill level required for an activity? Perhaps psychological preparedness? Or is it just activities of daily living? Okay, that's all function. On the flip side, your goal could also be to decrease. So to decrease, maintain, or prevent the worsening of pain, muscle spasm, abnormal muscle tone, edema, postural deviations, gait deviations, contractures or deformities, or abnormal sensory feedback. Now, these are categories that I, a while ago, went through some of my old textbooks back from when I was in university in physical therapy school. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is gold. In trying to teach non-physiotherapists how to think like a physiotherapist, I thought, this is good. Because you're looking at what do you want to increase, what do you want to decrease, what do you want to maintain, and so on. And those are your goals, and that can help guide your treatment. So just as a note, that whenever, or when I used to teach on treatment planning, I usually had the following goals set for participants that they could keep in mind. So what are your goals for home style and lifestyle management? Home and lifestyle management. Perhaps supplements, education. How are you going to manage inflammation or pain? Do you need to support something, support a joint perhaps? What do they need for range of motion, muscle flexibility, strengthening, proprioception, and return to activity advice? So I had put those in categories when I was trying to teach basics and fundamentals. It was like, okay, now if you approach a case, instead of looking at it as a cookbook, and that's what it kills me, because physiotherapy is not a cookbook. We don't just go, excellent, Mrs. Jones is here for her supraspinatus shoulder rehab. You know, we don't think, oh, let's open the book and see what we do. It's all about, you know, what are the very specific things that Mrs. Jones needs for her particular case. And that is very much what I tried to harp on in when I was teaching the basic courses. Okay, so let's move on then to your rehabilitation principles, okay? And here, it's maybe nice to look at the rehabilitation pyramid. Oh, and I'll let you know that I have all of this as handouts, as notes that you can refer to, print off, okay? And it will be in the articles section under business and marketing. Okay, so the rehabilitation pyramid looks like a pyramid, looks like a triangle, just like you would expect it to. And on the base of the pyramid, so these are the things that you would look at, you would start with, you see if they need to be addressed or they have not yet been addressed. Do you need to control inflammation, control pain, or restore integrity of the injured tissues? Now, when we go up a level on the pyramid, you have restore range of motion and address muscle inhibition and restore control of volitional contractions. Right? So now already you can make sense of this. You have a post-op cruciate dog. Your first line is, your first goals are going to be inflammation, pain, and integrity of the tissues. Your next goals, when you have controlled some inflammation, controlled some pain, that's when you're going to care about restoring range of motion. And that's when you're going to care about starting to get muscles to activate again. Okay, let's go up the next level of the pyramid. And up there is restore reflex reactions and restore muscle strength and endurance. So this could be postural reactions, right? So body awareness, that can be a little bit of proprioception, backing up, knowing where their body is, balancing, right? And again, restoring, then taking it up a notch to restore strength and endurance. Now, if you get that stage, you've making a difference there, you move up the next level of the pyramid, and that is to restore functional movement patterns. So this is where, let's say, my motor control and timing, when I do a three-leg stand on the dog, I don't want to see the pelvis drop. So that's a functional movement pattern. And then if we go up the last level, the tip of the pyramid is return to functional activities. So this is where we are trying to get the animal back ready to, whatever, play with his housemates, be able to go to the dog park, or return to sport. So this is how we progress, and it's a really nice visual. That not only for you, but if you are also looking at utilizing some of this information to educate your referring vets, because I still think there's that myth I hear, you know, oh no, whatever you do, don't go to rehab yet. He's not ready for that. It's like, oh, for crying out loud, he was ready the second he injured it. Okay, off my soapbox. Here's the part that I just created, actually just this morning, and this is considerations for designing a rehab program. So these are the things you need to think about and figure out how you're going to address them. So first off is identifying or deciding based on acuity. So if it's an acute injury or incident, then obviously your goals are more pain management, healing, education, those sorts of things. So bottom of the pyramid. If you have a chronic condition, then you're likely also looking at pain management. You're looking at education. But here now you can look a little bit more at function and mobility. And when an animal's in that mid-range, you assess the current status. You look at the strengths and weaknesses, and that guides your treatment. So you might be anywhere in that pyramid. Okay, now, after acuity, you can also think about prognosis. And is the prognosis good? Is it declining? Is it improving? Is this maintenance? So that will help you decide whether your treatment needs to be geared towards healing and improvement, or whether it just needs to be geared to quality of life. You know, is this an end stage? Is this a cancer patient? Is this just an old dog that needs better function? Okay. Do you need to gear towards pain management? Do you need maintenance and just trying to keep and maintain the status quo? So all of this kind of helps you in deciding where you're at. So let's say, for example, as well, I likely have it somewhere else in my thought processing too, but it's coming up in my head right now. Let's say you have a brachial plexus lesion, so an acute radial nerve palsy, and you are looking at this, the injury was, you know, a week ago or something, then yeah, absolutely. You're going to try and do techniques to gear towards healing, because maybe it can. Depending on how severe that nerve is injured, maybe it can heal. But let's say you're now looking at this case and it's like, had a brachial plexus lesion 4 months ago. And you assess it and you're like, we've got nothing. There's no sensation. There's no twitch. When I test with my muscle stim, I get nothing. This is like, nothing's come back. So in that case, you're not likely going to gear towards healing and improvement. You might look at treating the compensations that have occurred, looking at function, any those sorts of things. So it's a different treatment, right? It's the same as looking at, you know, degenerative myelopathy is sometimes more of a maintenance, and you maintain, and maybe there's a decline, and but then you want to maintain that level, maintain. Okay, and you're looking at quality of life. So bad prognosis doesn't mean you do nothing. It just means you change your focus. You change how you're looking at it, what you're looking at. Okay, so number three now is also age and condition of the dog, right? So is it a happy, active puppy who's blown the cruciate? Well, you know, what are you recommending? Honestly, for me, as much as I have been known as the person who's created the protocols for the conservative management, if a puppy owner comes to me and says, oh, I want to manage this conservatively, I want to talk them into surgery for the longevity of that dog, right? So puppy may change, you know, your advice and how you're looking at things. Young, middle-aged dog, you know, depends again on their condition then, or a senior dog. And is it just then, you know, quality of life? Is it just then, so let's say I had this very plump, arthritic Sheltie, and he came in just this past week, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know what? He is so sore, so immobile, so fat, that anything is going to make a difference. So, you know, I spent my assessment, you know, looking at where he's at, I lasered the joints, and then it was like home program. Here's what you guys need to do at home. Let's get this little guy moving in a safe way. Right? And that, I'm sure, is going to make a huge difference, just getting the little guy moving, right? Now, that's my senior dog. So that's something else you think about. Number four, looking at the goal of the owner. So first off, is it realistic, right? So I've had dogs that are neurologic, and it, you know, is it really realistic that they would be able to go back to sports? I've had some where it's no. I've had one where it totally shocked me, and I said, yeah, we're good to go. Not on the first assessment, but anyways, is it realistic? Is the goal simple? Like, I just want him to have better quality of life. That's simple. There's lots you can do to improve quality of life. Or is the goal super high, right? Like, so it's a post-op, whatever, shoulder, stifle, and this person wants to compete in sports. Then your job, you know, if everything is going right, take that dog to that level. So what will factor into here is going to be job of the dog, severity of injury that may affect the timeline, may affect management, may affect prognosis. You're factor in age of the dog, and prognosis again. Okay. Now, number five, the focus of your treatment and or the goals of your treatment, those which are professionally driven, right? So we have the goals of the owner, and then we have your goals, right? And that feeds into the increase this, decrease that, right? Are you looking for healing, strengthening, or is it prevention and maintenance? Is it the building of something? Okay. Or is this just a checkup and a tune-up, right? So I've got a number of sporting dogs. They come once a month, checkup, tune-up, check the pelvis, check the ribs, check the neck, check whatever they're, you know, oh, you know, she was looking at her carpus. Can you check that out, her neck? And, you know, look at those things as a preventative kind of a opportunity. Or is this just wellness, right? Wellness, general health, feeling good, and outing. So is this the old dog, the senior dog, perhaps the degenerative myelopathy dog, the neurologic dog, where it's about wellness and overall well-being, and in which case, you know, massage and manual therapy and some laser, maybe some acupuncture, and you could be looking at underwater treadmill or swimming. We've got a few old dogs that are doing that just as it's an outing. The dog is so happy to come see us. They get to swim in the pool. They love it, right? Is it that kind of a thing where you're not pushing, you're maintaining, and it's a good, positive, happy thing? Where else are we at? Okay, or is your focus need to be education, right? Here's what you guys need to be doing. Here's what you guys need to be preparing for. Here's the home program. Here's what you need to look at. Here's how you need to set up your house. That kind of a thing. And then lastly in this category is root of the problem versus the results or the effects of the problem. And in this category, I always like to give the story of the neuro dog, right? And in your neurologic dog, so your dog that's had IVDD, you can focus on function, or you can focus on treating the spine. And you have to kind of figure out what's going on, right? So if you are treating, you're just, let's put them in the pool or the underwater treadmill, let's get them moving, but you're not addressing the root of the problem. So let's say, you know, it needs therapy on the spine, increased circulation, we need laser, we could use acupuncture, we could be doing all those sorts of things. So we need to treat the root of the problem as well as the effect of the problem. So I say it's kind of like you've got a lamp and it's not working, and you can keep changing the light bulb, right? So you can keep doing PNF patterns, but unless you address that there's a short in the cord, or the darn thing's not even plugged in, right? So that might be, we need to settle down inflammation at the spinal cord. We need to stimulate healing at the spinal cord. We need to address compression of that disc via traction. Unless you're addressing the root of the problem, it doesn't matter how many times you change the light bulb. So you may need to look at, you know, your percentage of time that you address the root of the problem compared to the results of the problem or the effect of the problem. And that will change throughout the course of that particular injury. Well, in the case of the neuro dog, I'm saying. Okay, six is, what is the best use of your time in clinic? In other words, what is it that only you can do? So of course, that's the assessment and the reassessment of the animal. And likely treatments such as manual therapy or your modalities or your client education. So those are your things that they can't do that at home. And then you go, well, what about exercise, right? So then you've got your hydrotherapy that is a coming to the clinic event. You would have therapist exercise demos so that you're creating the home program for that dog and teaching the owner how to do these at home. And then you have therapist-led exercise. And I did have a survey about that a while ago just to see where people fell on that spectrum. Like, do you bring the dogs in to lead them through exercise? Or are you looking more at, I'm doing exercise in the gym with the dog as a way to show the owner what to do, as a way to assess where the dog is at and what new exercises can be prescribed? So I always look at number six as, you know, when they're coming to the clinic, I want the best use of my time. Okay. Seven then, in these seven, eight, and nine kind of tie into, you know, home exercise program and how you think about that. So seven is training and trainability of the dog. So if the dog is really crazy, wing nut, you know, you might have to figure out how to calm that down. If the dog is not food motivated, well, that's quite tricky as well. You figure out what the motivation is. And I always say, too, this is why you don't just say, you know, here's some exercises you should do. You have to make sure that that's appropriate for that dog, that the dog will actually do them, and that it makes sense, that it as an exercise, that the owner will be successful with that particular home exercise. So you factor in the dog. You then also have to factor in the health, ability, knowledge, skills, and availability of the owner, right? So can the owner do this at home? Does the owner have enough time to do some of these exercises at home? Is the owner, you know, have horribly arthritic knees herself and can't walk the dog up and down hills like you are thinking would be good? So you got to factor that into it as to what is realistic to prescribe as a home program, and therefore, are there things that exercise-wise you bring in clinic because the owner can't do them at home? 9 was your ability to teach the owner the home exercises. So, and this is too where it's really helpful to have the owners in so you can show them, you can teach them how to do it, you figure out their dog and how you will teach their dog and therefore how you teach them to train their dog to do an exercise. So that's one that we all should likely have some basic information on dog training skills. And that might be something a person needs to up level. Okay. Lastly, and I'm not going to go through both columns of this. So what I've got here is I've called it your rehabilitation toolbox for treatment planning. And what I've got on the left side column is your tools at your disposal. And on the right side column is the rationale or the effect. And I've tried to make it simple, and it almost looks overly simplified, but it can help you in your thought processing so that it becomes very automatic as to what are my options, what's my best. So your tools could be manual therapies, right? And in that, you've got mobilizations, whether they're light, gentle, and slow for pain management, or more vigorous for increasing joint mobility and joint nutrition. You have traction, so traction at a joint that can, you know, be almost the same as a mobilization. Or you can look at traction at the spine, so helping to increase blood flow to and around a disc or reduce impingement on a nerve root. You've got massage, and again, that can be light, gentle, relaxing, or targeted and deeper, like you're doing a trigger point massage. You have stretching, so understanding your specific muscles, and you have range of motions for trying to gain motion at a joint. You would have your modalities. So your modalities, and then again, looking at knowing what they are all for. So you've got laser, you've got ultrasound, electrical muscle stimulation. You could have TENS or your microcurrent, pulsed electromagnetic field, shockwave, acupuncture, ice, heat. And of course, there's new stuff coming out all the time in DEBA, which I think is radio frequency, which I'm still figuring out how, looking into that. Anyways, so those are some of your modalities, and how can your modalities help? And then you've got your exercise therapies. So you've got your underwater treadmill or your pool, swimming, okay? You've got weight shifting exercises. You've got static balancing exercises. You've got dynamic balancing exercises. You would have targeted strengthening to strengthen particular muscle groups. You would have endurance training. Cardiovascular kind of fits into that too, and return to sport training. Okay, so these are all your exercise classifications. And then lastly is advisement, right? So this is, you know, home activity level, home environment management, obesity management, sports conditioning strategies, geriatric management, pain management, and whether or not the owner needs to seek further diagnostics or you advise return to the referring veterinarian to discuss surgical options, need for meds, and so on. But basically, you know, your rehab toolbox includes, for the most part, these things. And of course, there's going to be other special different little things. So whether you would have taping and kinesiotaping and And what else would we throw into there? Vestibular rehabilitation techniques and things like that. But from a kind of a straightforward orthopedic standpoint, this kind of covers a lot of the things that you would look at. So that wraps it up. That's kind of how I figure you should be looking at creating your rehab program, setting your goals for your rehab programs, deciding what you're going to include in your rehab program. There we are. So that is it. I hope that helps you guys. Hope that maybe provides a little bit of clarity. And again, you can find this handout on Foreleg, on the members side, on the articles side, under, I think it's under business and marketing. Well, it's going to have to be now because that's where I've put it. So, okay. Doesn't really make sense to be there. Oh, now I don't know where else I've got it. Okay. Well, if I've changed my mind, I will write this in the description of where I enter this into foreleg.com. How's that? Okay. That's it. Until next time. Cheers.